This the Black Powder Podcast. Kick up your feet, lean on your armrest, right, and get your mind blessed on this conquest. Hold a grip like a 12th gauge. Let this moment kick. Black people moving and having some gun ownership. I carry weight, not to keep the camera safe. It's thinking about you, my kids and my parents' faces. The big topics they don't wanna involve us. Think we're novice, but now we're moving hard with revolvers. This the Black Powder Podcast. Let's get it started. Yeah.
Primer's hit, the powder's lit. This is the Black Powder Podcast, where we chamber the narrative, light the message, and stay on target. Exploring firearms, culture, and community with the unique perspective of black gun ownership. The Second Amendment is for all, but here we aim to redefine the narrative of black society in the Second Amendment space and terraform the landscape of firearm communities with purpose and power. As always, if you have questions, comments, or would like to be featured on the show, please reach out to blackpowderpodcast@gmail.com and search for us on all popular social media sites such as Facebook, Instagram, Reddit, and more. If you're looking for past episodes, please find us on Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, and more. Shout out to the supporters: Tactician Fragrances, Tardigrade Industry, Gun Club Radio, Hot Brass Clothing Company, and many more listed below in the information. Kind of light them up and knock them down. Alright, it's time for the follow-up shots. Day number two of SHOT Show. Got a late start, not even going to lie about that. I guess it was mainly because the trip from Atlanta all the way down to Vegas was, maybe a 3 or 4 hour long flight. And there was a major time difference as well. That was one thing that was starting to annoy me a little bit, because normally I go to sleep around probably 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning Atlanta time. So 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning Atlanta time is, it's probably about, let's say 8, 9, ish, somewhere around there. Either way, it sucked. That's all I know, but made the best of it. And again, you know, I'm out there with somebody else, so I'm not really on my schedule, I'm on their schedule as well. And in my mind, I'm like focused. I'm like, all right, got to get up there, got to do some work, got to make this happen. But again, if you travel with somebody, you have to be accommodating to what they want to do as well. And you can't force people to just get up and brush their teeth and splash water in their face and just hop into Uber and, you know, completely forego breakfast. Nonetheless, made it work. I honestly don't remember what we had for breakfast, because everything was just kind of, I might have missed breakfast now that I think about it. I don't know. Either way, made it to the Venetian Expo. As soon as we walk in, I'm like, okay, there's some security guards right there. And I'm already decked out in that sweet, sweet Tardigrade Industry shirt. Yes, I'm still going to push hard for them, because they do amazing things and they make amazing products. Y'all need to be checking them out. I really think they're going to be the wave of the future. Nonetheless, as soon as we stepped in, there was the security guards there, just two of them. We started talking, and then, you know, I'm pushing information on Tardigrade. I'm like, hey, you should go check out this booth right over here. Got some really high-tech, innovative technology that's definitely going to make a difference in the world and can definitely protect your ocular area from dealing with injuries. I can pass out the information all day. Matter of fact, by the end of the previous day, I had passed out all my cards and got restocked with the new card. Had a handful of them, matter of fact. It was a pretty thick stack, but, you know, my goal that day was to try my best to get those out to as many people as possible and spread the word. I honestly hope those two security guards went to go check out the booth, because they did seem like they were interested and they read the information. I think they actually understood the specs and everything too, so they're like, okay, might have to go check that out. After that, the goal was to crack the sky and head over to the Caesars Forum, which is where most of the majorly established bigwig type boots we're at. You know, they spend a ridiculous amount of money on these boots. I'd say, I think Chris might have said that the average booth that was like on the ground level and everything was like maybe $8,000, I think. Maybe that's a new price. Either way, $8,000 for like a small lemonade stand area. You know, you got enough just to put one table and maybe about two or three folding chairs. But that's not even including, you know, your staff or your displays and everything else. So, you know, they give you, I guess you could say, the bare minimum to work with in order to set your equipment up. But I mean, if you've got like Ferrari money to throw away, like nobody's business. I mean, I've got money to throw away simply because I've got money to throw away type money, then yeah, you're going to go to the Caesars Forum and you're going to build it up, and it's literally going to look like the second level was the garden party and the Caesars Forum is literally like where the mansions are at, and you need scheduled appointments and need to be on the guest list and you need to know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. At least that's the vibe I got, because I mean, you know, literally you went up there and yeah, it was just large hallways of vendors who would just slap down their wallet and like slap down stacks of money. I mean, hell, they might have had some gold doubloons and some golden bullion too, but nonetheless, they're like, make my booth big and make it worth my time. So ideally, my main target, especially seeing as how I was wearing a tardigrade shirt and, you know, I was repping the brand, my main target was to reach out to companies who mainly dealt with protective equipment or, you know, just anything that would go towards the military or the police officers, anybody that does any type of law enforcement or just, you know, protection in general. 5'11 was number one on my list. So about that. Okay. I can't blame the company because I've had so many good interactions outside of SHOT Show with the company. I've gone to brick and mortar 5-Eleven stores. I've gone to the Omaha location near Epley Airfield. Amazing people, real nice, down to earth. I've gone to the Nuna location, which again, amazing people, down to earth, just great people to talk to. I've also gone to the, I think it's Johnson's Creek 5-Eleven, which again, I mean, it's like, it's cookie cutter, but it's not like Pillsbury dough cookie cutter. This is more like, you know, your grandma made this and it's you're always going to be pleasantly surprised anytime you're come in contact with it type cookie cutter. You know, the good cookies, not that cheap knockoff crap where anybody could easily set up a store and then give the bare minimum customer service and somehow try to make money. I mean, if you hadn't figured it out by now, I'm all about customer service and public relations and relating to people. So anytime a major brand can do that, it sticks out to me. Even whenever I've ordered online, I had an order one day that I'm like, okay, in my opinion, it's not late, but they gave me a VIP card. I honestly think that might have came from the corporate sector. I don't know. Or maybe they had it set up. I'm not sure. But either way, I got a VIP card. And I remember ordering online, and I think the orders come from wherever the stock is at. So it may come from different stores. Somebody took their time to handwrite a note and thank me for my business. So that's the type of time I'm on whenever it comes to 5-Eleven. So, you know, I'm immediately just rolling over there like, yeah, if anybody can probably help get this product out there and help make a difference, especially seeing as how they already are, you know, selling different type of plate carriers and other stuff, this might be the company. At least that's how I was taking it. So strutted my happy little ass over to 5-Eleven, and it was just I don't know, I didn't like the setup. It was weird. I mean, as far as like seeing the items displayed and everything, it was cool because they had like these little light boxes and everything, and they had some items in the display case, which in all honesty, I don't think that was a good move
because yeah, you can have somebody look at a backpack, and one of them was the sling pack that I've already got, but nonetheless, you've got people looking at the backpack. They don't really know exactly what the layout is or what the specifics are or whatever. They just see a backpack behind some glass or some display material. I mean, it doesn't really provide a whole lot of interaction. Whenever you got more towards the center area, where I guess there were the sales reps, and you know, this is why I'm giving 5'11 a little bit of grace. I don't think that's how the company is represented. I could be wrong. I could be right. I don't know. There is still the whole Tim Kennedy scandal thing, and they did have him over at their booth. Take that for what you will. Nonetheless, I'm talking about boots on the ground, seeing what was going on over there from my perspective. But yeah, the little sales area where they had the booth set up, and again, they had, it was almost like, I want to say like a, it was a light box area that was elevated. So you had the base and then you had the light box stuff on top, and they had, I guess, their newer line of apparel and backpacks hanging up and whatnot. So I said, okay, cool. I'll just head over there, because I wasn't really interested in the speech that was going on the stage. I mean, it was almost like a timeshare. I mean, don't get me wrong. Knowledge is power. Information is currency. But I just didn't like the speaker too much. I don't know. He just, and granted, I mean, I'm not knocking him. I mean, he's probably, in his realm of expertise, he's probably, you know, well known. I'm just a small time podcaster. Okay, cool. I mean, I know the difference of scale and whatnot, but nonetheless, I mean, he just, he didn't have any charismatic connection with the crowd. And like most trade shows with people, I mean, people were there like, okay, cool. If I can just get through this, there might be a prize at the end. And sure enough, they started giving away 5'11 hats that were autographed by the guy, and he was actually signing them on the spot. And I was like, yeah, okay. Girlfriend was like, I'm going to go get you one. I'm like, eh, don't worry about it. That's not what I'm here for. I was locked in on the mission. I'm pushing tardigrade industries. That's where it's locked in at. So, nonetheless, avoided the seminar, whatever you want to call it, went straight to the viewing area, started looking at, you know, their vest and everything, and I started noticing a bag. So I went over to the bag and opened it up, looked inside, looked at the panels, and literally I was selling this bag. Now, nobody had come up to me at this point. I'm just standing there, opening panels, talking about what each part can do, what you might be able to do with it, so on and so forth. I was selling the item for a company that had not noticed me, and I was on site in their own area. Because I did have some people crowd around me to look at it, and they were like, oh, okay, yeah. This is where things started taking a turn a little bit towards expanding my horizons outside of 5'11. And I hate to say that, but I mean, at this point, after the reception I got there, it may end up going that route. But nonetheless, I was talking to a gentleman about just backpacks in general, because I've had several different 5'11 backpacks. I've had the Rush series. I've had the Amp series. I got the little pack. I can't remember what it's called. I even used the one of the waist packs in conjunction with my my Rush bag. I've taken it on many trips. I've taken that Rush series to St. Martin. I've taken it to Japan. I've gotten use out of the bags. Normally, I mean, I've carried Maxpedition. I still have my Maxpedition bags, but you know, I'm a huge fan of the Gear Slinger. I think it's the Monsoon Gear Slinger. I'm a huge fan of it. I've already gone through, I think, 4 or 5 of them. And recently I've purchased the Maxpedition, I think, what is it, the Gear Falcon 3? They've got a special going on right now for the 3 and a 2. So, yeah, I've already hit that up. Nonetheless, though, the gentleman that was there was referring to this brand. Now, I don't know if it's I don't know how it's pronounced. I think it's spelled K-U-I-U. So like Kui, or I'm, like I said, I don't know how it's pronounced, but he recommended it because he did like a lot of outside work, and I think even some ranch work. So when I started talking to him about the tardigrade industry's eyewear protection and like some of the maxilla face, the maxilla mandible and everything else, he started taking a whole lot of interest in it. And he said he could definitely use something like that to block dirt particles from getting into his eyes as he's doing some ranch work. It was a great conversation. It concluded, and by now, still hadn't had any 5'11 representation come to talk to us. And again, you know, I'm wearing a Tardigrade Industries branded t-shirt. I mean, it's not like I'm wearing a graphic tee or anything, or just like the typical stuff I'd wear, which is like a flannel shirt with a t-shirt and jeans or whatever. I mean, I was wearing like a shirt that had branding on it. Even the patches on the side were Tardigrade Industries branded. I made sure that you could see the logo. I think I might have even tied my hair back so the logo on the chest was visible. I mean, I'm representing somebody else's brand, so I'm doing the best that I can to make sure that it's presented in a nice and neat fashion. And like I said, nobody had come by yet, and I think I was already there for, by the time the conversation ended, I dare say 15 minutes. And again, I'm still going around the other areas of the display section, and I'll admit I had my GoPro rig on. I did not know, quote unquote, that I was supposed to only take pictures and not take video footage, because we did have a security guard come by and he saw the rig up, and you know, it's not like it's a huge rig or anything. I mean, it's a GoPro. So I had I literally have a strap attached to my bag, which ironically enough, I was carrying around a small 5'11 bag that was packable, you know, because I had everything else in my my other bag. So I said, okay, cool, I can make this work. First time I used this thing too. Had the 5'11 bag, and I had the GoPro mini strap rig on there. So literally it's chest level and I can record everything. And the guy's like, are you recording? And I said, yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have to ask you to stop. I mean, it's what the convention said. They don't want anybody recording. And he just went into like this whole thing about what happened when somebody was previously recording. And that, to be honest, I mean, I think it kind of made sense, because we happen to live in a society where people will only record things that benefit them. Take that for what you will. Nonetheless, me trying to make the best of any situation that may seem like it would be somewhat of a quote-unquote offensive situation to the average person, I try to turn what a normal person would consider an enemy into at least an ally, if you would. And I hate the word ally, but nonetheless, you know, I'm trying to be diplomatic. Even if I wasn't wearing a Tardigrade Industries t-shirt, I would still have that same mentality. I would try and be diplomatic. And I try to turn the situation around, and I'm like, okay, cool. Let me see. This guy's a security guard. He's used to some sort of protection. He might be able to utilize this product. So I'm over here doing some mental jujitsu and like flipping this shit around, trying to, you know, turn the conversation towards my advantage. And I gave him a flyer. I said, hey man, your job might be pretty dangerous, and if anything, ocular injuries are something that's seriously needs to be taken into consideration. You might want to go check this booth out. I guarantee you're gonna find something that you like. Jiu-jitsu. And he walked away. He wasn't like upset. He wasn't angry. He wasn't pissed off. I mean, you know, he walked away like nothing happened. I said, okay, cool. By now, ironically enough, we had talked to someone who was a guest at the 5'11 booth, and we were just having a conversation. And by now, I guess somebody had noticed, so they're like, oh, okay. I don't know what's going on, but there's security over there. It literally took a security guard coming over there, talking to us about a camera for somebody that was representing that booth to come over and actually have a conversation with us. And the conversation that occurred, I mean, it really isn't worth going into detail because, I mean, I talked about the pants, talked about the shoes, talked about bringing back Future stuff. And then I got to finally got around to where I'm having a conversation about protective eyewear. So starting the conversation and I tell the guy about the technology and I'm like, yeah, Chris McKenna, he's the CEO. He's found a way to make this, make the material literally see through, and yet it still has a high enough grade of protection that will protect your eye from at least three times the national standard for what the current eyewear is. You know, current eyewear is around 600 something. His eyewear can protect around 2100 plus, I'd say. So, I mean, yeah, shrapnel's going to be shrugged off by this stuff. But what I told the sales rep this, I mean, he just, you know, you know, a little smirk. I'm like, keep it thoughts to yourself, Everett. Keep it thoughts to yourself. Just keep pushing. Keep pushing. So, continued on with the conversation. Got to the point where we got to the end. And I'm like, so, would you happen to have a business card? Or is there any type of email I might be able to reach out at? And the guy's like, it's like talking to a Ferrari salesman. He's like, yes, we do. We do. yes. I'm like, okay, what would the email be? customerservice@511.com. Which, when you translate it and filter out the professionalism, is just a nice way of saying, go fuck yourself. But, you know, I guess when you're representing a product and, you know, you're trying to get more notice to it, you're going to have people that are going to ignore you and they're not going to take you serious. So, you know, it is what it is. I just said, okay, cool. Well, I'll go to the website and look into it. And I walked off. Now, in a business perspective, it didn't affect me. At least from the tardigrade angle. From my own personal life and from the Black Powder podcast angle. And considering all the positive interactions that had kind of built up to, you know, me actually being able to go out there and see what was being offered, that's where it kind of like was irksome, because I'm like, you got to be kidding me. You got all these wonderful employees that work for you in these brick and mortar areas, and, you know, they're willing to have a conversation with you, like a full-blown conversation with you. You know, I'm not saying I want somebody to have a full-blown conversation with me at a trade show, because, I mean, I know the main purpose is to make sales and create new clientele and whatnot, but nonetheless, it's like, yeah, okay, like night and day. This is really what your brand is about. Okay. And again, I could be completely wrong. I mean, I do not know what 511 corporate is like. I would hope that they would represent the brand a little bit better, but again, I do not know. So yeah, take that with a grain of salt. Like I said, kept it pushing. Next area I went to was, I think the Ruger area, which Ruger, you know, the booth was awesome. You could tell they spent Ruger money on it. They had new ads for the new Ruger RXM, which is a great gun, by the way. Got to do a review on it. They spent ads on just plastering the Ruger RXM up there. They had Coleon Noir ads. I mean, they had just, like, Rugered their section down. I mean, there was no way you would not be able to tell or find the Ruger booth. And again, kind of, and shout out to all the reps that actually take time to talk with people that are there. Because these guys, oh my God, super chill people. Just down to earth, amazing. John Dragonette was the contact I made. Dude was amazing. I wish I could remember the names of the rest of the staff. God, I feel bad, but nonetheless, I mean, the rest of the staff was awesome. They did the same thing that the Gerson booth did, because my girlfriend was, you know, said she's still trying to find something. Because she has issues trying to rack the slide on most of my firearms. And, you know, I love mechanics. But she's got a Ruger EC9, like I think I said in the previous podcast. But nonetheless, Gerson showed her the tip-up, I think it was called, where the barrel flips up and you could put a round in there and, you know, boom, it's chambered. John recommended the Security 380. And when she tried that, because originally I tried to get her to try the RXM, but she picked up the Ruger Security 380, and that slide went back like butter. I mean, I'm not even going to lie. I saw the gears in her head start turning, and she was like, I might get this. I could see myself using this. Meanwhile, in the back of my mind, I'm like, yeah, you go ahead and get it. I can see myself using that. I might have to get one of those off-the-books firearms that you're not going to know about because I don't tell you about them. I got to redact that. But either way, that Security 380 actually looked pretty cool. I don't think it was optic ready. But in her case, I mean, hell, wouldn't mind spending the money to make sure she could have an optic on there. If there would even be anything that would fit on there, I don't know. But nonetheless, she liked that firearm and connected with John, was enjoying my time at the Ruger booth. They were treating people like customers or return customers or just, you know, customers in general, and they were having fun with it. I mean, heck, John's partner slapped a Ruger sticker on his head, and John was bald as anything, and that sticker just it was up there. I got pictures of it. I mean, these dudes are just like, you know, enjoying themselves, being humans. So, you know, walked off, got the contact, passed down the information from about tardigrade to him, and hopefully, you know, something will come from it. Again, this is just part of the business, you know, trying to get awareness to it. After that, stopped by the Davidson's booth, and again, just, I don't know, maybe it's just, you know, you got one-offs or whatnot, I'll give you that. I ain't even mad about that, but the Davidson's booth was actually pretty cool. I think they're located in North or South Carolina, and was having conversation with them and everything. Got the business card. I think I was asking if they had one of my dream guns, the Springfield Ronin in 10mm. I don't know why I want it in 10. It's talking to me. It's the gun that I want for my 40th birthday. Birthday has already passed. It's going to happen. I just gotta make it happen. I've never even fired 10mm before, but yet it's just something about that 10mm gun that I want. I don't want to stay on one platform all the time. I mean, I know it's ideal just to kind of have most of your firearms, you know, quote unquote, same caliber. That way, if, I don't know, say for example, and this is one of many examples, but nonetheless, let's just take the basic one. Ammunition prices go up and they want, I don't know, $50 for a box of 10mm or something, right? I'm just going to be kind of SOL. Then I have to go back to 9mm and or 22 or whatever, you know. It's just, you know, Having multiple platforms that are similar, I mean, it is beneficial, you know. But nonetheless, I kind of like having different platforms. I know other people like having different platforms too. I've got several 9s. I've got a 44. I've got obviously shotguns. You know, I got a whole mixture of calibers or whatnot. A main 9, but I just like having the exotic calibers on the side because I'd like to try them out. I'd like to shoot them, and plus, I like the look of that Springfield Ronin, and from my childhood and history, I just like a lot of stuff that has to do with feudal era Japan. So, all in all, it just kind of stuck together, and that's why I keep looking at it. But nonetheless, back to the story. They didn't have a Ronin there, and I was like, okay, cool. Retreated back down to the second level because, you know, I flew too close to the sun, basically. And it didn't discourage me. If anything, it made me a little bit more determined. And I'm like, yeah, I've got to do better business. I can't just roll in there granted, I mean, I try my best to be a people person or whatnot, but I just can't roll in there being a people person with people that are like, what can you do for us? So it was a learning experience. You know, I can't even get mad at that. If anything, if I'm not taking something away from it, then I'm not improving myself business-wise or just mentally or whatever. My skills remain the same, and those skills are not going to help progress me if I don't upgrade them and update them. So, yeah, I needed that. I'm not even mad about it. I did, however, go check out Highland Tactical, and honestly, I need to get back in contact with them because their suitcase, in my opinion, is a lot better than the one that I've got currently. And I do want to try out some of their packs and their bags. And shoot, if y'all can help me distribute some of that stuff, because I'm really thinking about seeing if I could buy some and then redistribute them out to the public, y'all let me know, because I might have to go that route. 5-Eleven, brick and mortar is great, corporate's questionable, I'm not sure. Sales rep, needs improvement. But hey, that's day two. This is Black Panther Podcast with Yasuke Fett signing off, going dark.
This the Black Powder Podcast, let's get explicit. We got the wisdom hitting targets with a mark with precision. We're having fun in the booth, we're running gun for the truth. Every future black gun owner, we're spreading the news. We do illegal, we're moving regal and blessing the people. Some hopes for the culture, we keep it locked like guns in a holster. Holding it down as we're loading the rounds. If they were nervous back then, right, then they're gonna be scared of us now. Black Powder Podcast, we'll be back in a while. Yeah.